This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, November 22nd. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll introduce you to phragmites and what they mean for treating wastewater naturally in the future. We'll also have a forecast for the Thanksgiving weekend from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, a look at today's news. A long-awaited and controversial rewrite of the Champaign County zoning ordinance failed to win approval from the county board last night. The vote marks an end for now to a decade-long effort to update the zoning rules for the county's rural areas. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
Key portions of the proposed zoning rewrite would limit or ban development on prime farmland and within 250 feet of a river, stream, or forest preserve. Scott Bittner says those limits are needed to preserve farmland and natural areas from overdevelopment.
Think about Champaign County in 50 years. How clever will we have been if we have surrounded our towns with McMansions on sprawlettes?
But opponents, most of them rural landowners like August Burney, said the limits violated their right to use their land as they saw fit.
I spent 20 years in my government, in the Army, fighting for my country, for my rights. And there I got some people up here telling me what I can't do with what I have.
Bittner and Burney were among an overflow crowd that came to last night's county board meeting because of the zoning rewrite. As they watched, zoning rewrite supporters tried to move the least controversial parts of the proposal separately, but they fell 5 votes short of the needed supermajority. They then withdrew the rest of the proposal. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
A state planning board is slated to hear Champaign County's request to exempt the new county nursing home from new construction rules that could delay its opening. The County Board Facilities Committee voted yesterday morning to ask the State Health Facilities Planning Board to exempt the new nursing home from the rules that limit allowable increases in construction costs. At a full county board meeting last night, County Board Member Greg Knott says he called State Representative Bill Black for help in getting that item on the planning board's December agenda.
He immediately called the Facilities Health Planning Board, and about 10 minutes later, I got a phone call that we will be on the agenda for December, so I think it was success in my mind to at least get to the stage where we can make our argument.
Facilities Committee Chairman Steve Beckett says they need the exemption so they can go ahead and fix the nursing home's heating, ventilation, and air conditioning system. He says otherwise the county would have to file a supplemental application that would delay the nursing home's opening until June at the earliest and cost another $50,000. City of Champaign Township is bracing for drastic financial cuts in its budget to help the poor. Last night, the township board voted unanimously for a property tax levy of an estimated $470,000. Township Supervisor Linda Abernathy says with a depleted surplus, the proposed amount will not be enough to provide services to the poor at the existing level.
Right now, I have a budget of $840,000. So that's a total township budget. So that's half. So myself and the assessor, we've got to get our heads together and cut the budget. We were probably looking at layoffs. That's just really all that it amounts to.
Abernathy says services like general assistance with a monthly stipend of $212 will be cut down to half. She also says the township would only be able to help around 40 people a month instead of the about 100 people who currently receive assistance. In the midterm elections, voters decided against increasing the township's property tax rate. One Champaign City Council member says there's a lot for local officials to think about before letting a phone giant provide video programming via its phone lines. Tom Bruno says he welcomes the competition that AT&T's Project Lightspeed service would mean to cable TV provider Insight, but he says installation of the service means the placement of about 100 utility boxes on the city's right-of-way.
This is not about their ability to provide this service, but more about their ability to provide this service using public land to string their equipment and put their equipment in. And, of course, we've already sold to them the right to string their wires over our streets and roads and sidewalks and highways. And for that, they pay us a telephone franchise fee. But, it's getting to be a complicated world.
Bruno says he's also concerned that Insight could end up paying more for cable than AT&T would for its video services. AT&T has said it won't sign a cable franchise agreement with the city, adding that it's providing a separate service from cable, but Bruno says the loss of franchise fees would hurt the city. The St. John's Newman Center on the University of Illinois' Urbana-Champaign campus is slated for overhaul and expansion. The Catholic Center is part of the Peoria Diocese. Bishop Daniel Jenke oversees the diocese and announced the $26 million addition yesterday.
St. John's Catholic Newman Center, the largest of our Newman Centers in the diocese, will begin their monumental expansion project with a groundbreaking scheduled for Saturday, December 2nd, 2006. The completion date of this expansion of the new building is scheduled for June of 2008.
Jenke says the 127,000-square-foot hall will be paid for with the revenue it creates. He says the expansion is needed to better serve the 12,000 Catholic students on the U of I campus. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. A reminder, there will be no podcast on Thanksgiving Day or the day after Thanksgiving. Our next daily podcast will be Monday. Nature is often full of practical solutions to real-world problems. Take the case of sewage and wastewater treatment. For decades, engineers have used mechanical means to process wastewater before disposing of the end product in landfills. It turns out that phragmites, a robust wetland reed, can do the job just as quickly and for a fraction of the cost. The Environment Report's Adam Allington has more.
Brandy Nelson is wearing knee-high rubber boots. She's wading out into a tiny patch of reeds, gently swaying in the wind. They're planted in a goopy substance that appears to be mud, but is actually...
sludge. We're standing ankle-deep in sludge. Sludge is the leftover solids from the conventional sewage treatment process. Things that are very organic in nature, but thin enough that you can't really, you know, scoop it out with your hand. It's not the consistency of yogurt, it's more like a thin milkshake.
That thin milkshake used to be the solid stuff that you flush down the drain. Brandy is an environmental engineer working for the village of Tivoli, New York. Today she's monitoring growth of two recently planted reed beds. The reeds are an invasive wetland species called phragmites, or common reed. In most places, these reeds are a problem because they crowd out native plants. But here, they're doing a job.
So the sludge is being pumped from a sludge holding tank through PVC.
The whole reason to have the reed beds is really to get the largest volume reduction of your waste product. It's because the sludge tends to have so much water in it, and phragmites sucks up an enormous amount of water. This bed, we're standing in it now, this bed will be totally dry in one day.
Even though Tivoli is relatively small at about 1,000 residents, the village still produces 100,000 gallons of wastewater every day. That wastewater translates into a whole lot of sludge, which Tivoli then has to haul to landfills.
We'll probably be saving about $45,000 on hauling fees.
Tom Cordier is deputy mayor for the village of Tivoli.
At one point, we had drying beds, and it took about a week for them to dry. And then we would come in with our backhoe and take out the dried material. But every time we got ready to do that, it would rain, and we'd have to start the whole process over again. And then in the wintertime, it was difficult because it was always freezing, and finally we got to the point where we had to have it trucked away.
Before they planted the reeds, Tivoli had to remove their liquid sludge once a month. When the reeds are fully grown, the village won't need to haul anything away for over 10 years. But if reedbed technology is so efficient, why isn't everyone using it? The answer has a lot to do with the predictability of mechanics versus the variables of biology.
One of the issues with the reed beds is it's a biological process. Engineers like to typically do things that are mechanical, things that are fit into formulas.
Dan Fleurial is director of wastewater treatment for the town of Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. Shelburne Falls began experimenting with reed bed technology back in the early 1990s. Unlike the short 3-foot reeds in Tivoli, the mature reeds in Shelburne Falls tower some 6 feet over us as we walk through them.
We've been applying to these three reed beds since 1993. It's been very good for us because we've gone from a very time-consuming process of dewatering sludge to something that we pretty much leave hands off that we can rely on.
Functionality and reliability. They're fundamental to any civil engineering project. But Brandy Nelson notes that Tivoli's reed beds also make sense from an environmental perspective.
This waste product, 150,000 gallons of it, used to go to a landfill somewhere else, and it wasn't our problem anymore. Now what we're able to do is manage that waste product here on site in a relatively small footprint using a natural technology, a very low energy technology, and in the end, we'll end up with a product that we can use for village landscaping projects.
Tivoli's reed beds are expected to reach full maturity by next summer. Success of the project is being followed closely by neighboring towns, who are also considering a switch to reed bed treatment plants. For the Environment Report, I'm Adam Allington.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. You can learn more about Environment Report stories and subscribe to weekly podcasts at environmentreport.org.
Well, there'll be very few impediments weather-wise to your Thanksgiving weekend, according to AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser. Our travel day forecast for today calls for sunny skies throughout the two-state area and highs ranging from 48 in northeast Indiana to around 60 in west central Illinois. Clear skies tonight, the lows from 24 in portions of eastern Indiana to 37 in west central Illinois. And sunshine again for tomorrow, Thanksgiving Day highs ranging from 55 in the north to 63 in southwest Illinois. Looking ahead to Friday, mostly sunny. Saturday and Sunday, a mix of clouds and sun. A chance of a few showers Sunday in northern and west central Illinois. And highs ranging Friday from the 50s north to the 60s south. Saturday and Sunday ranging from the upper 40s for highs in far northern Illinois to still the low 60s in the far south. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, November 22nd. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.